Remember to smile. Nelson Mandela. My guest on this episode of Passing the Torch is Shelley Baskin. She is a young active duty officer in the military. She is someone I work with and have had the opportunity to learn about over the past few months. It did not take long to realize what an amazing person she is. Shelley Baskin is someone with a contagious smile and whose positive attitude influences those around her. Fun fact, she is a four-time collegiate All-American high jumper and the most decorated Division I All-American in Air Force women's history. Bonus, she's just a really cool person. Without further ado, Passing the Torch with Shelley Baskin starts now. First and foremost, welcome to the show and thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
So I'm going to provide some context.
Okay.
And I'm also going to make fun of you.
We'll see if this is truthful or not.
No, it's all good. I just want to read some of your accolades because it's very impressive. But I've been wanting to connect with you for to do a podcast in person for the past few months. We've had a lot of conversations and just one thing I noticed about you right away was just your obvious smile. In a good way, it's infectious. We've had a few chats here and there over the past couple months, and I just want to read some accolades about you. You are a four-time collegiate All-American high jumper and the most decorated Division I All-American in Air Force women's history. However, there's one additional accolade I would like to bring up, the thing you should be most proud of, your power move by brushing me off a few weeks ago.
I'm messing with you. I felt really bad.
No, you don't feel bad.
I thought you ghosted me, to be honest. I was like, that's it. I shot my chance.
Yeah. No. I've been wanting to give you a hard time about that.
I felt bad.
But no, it's fine. But aside from that, again, just thanks for being here. But I want to ask you, please just discuss, like, growing up on a 1,700-acre ranch, doing chores, and the valuable lessons that you learned.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's funny because the first thing that comes to mind is like group yard work with all my brothers because we hated it. And it was a lot of pine straw because it's a pretty big house. The house is like, our farmhouse is 10,000 square feet. So the outside of that is a lot of flower beds. And we used to have to spread it at the beach. We grew up going to the beach a lot. Anyways, it taught me that complaining won't get you anywhere with my mom, at least. If anything, it gets you more pine straw. I mean, looking now, I love yard work, so maybe it was like subliminal messaging to me. But I mean, we shared all the chores because there was a bunch of us, have three brothers, so easy to, give each of us a different job. But I think it's great. It might just be me that it stuck with because I spent a lot of time with my youngest brother because we overlapped at school for a year, and he was extremely messy. So obviously it didn't work for him, but I came away with some good life lessons. But it was really fun. I mean, having three brothers, being outside like most of the time made me pretty competitive. We'd play paintball. That was awful. They would gang up on me, but it probably did help my sports career. They literally would hide and all decide that I was the target. So I'd come out in the open and three people just light me up with paintballs. So that's actually a funny memory. Yeah, I mean, we had a great time, even though it was, like yard work. Or like, we're going to vacuum and sweep and get everything clean so when we come back, we don't have to do it. And I was like, this is a trap because we do it every time. Like, I'm not falling for this so one more time. But yeah, growing up on, it's not like a traditional farm with like farm animals. We raise actually breeder deer and people come hunt the deer. And that was later in our life. Like, I missed a lot of that. That was a lot of my younger brother working with my dad. But yeah, just being outside hunting together, things that like I not take for granted, but then you move out of Alabama and it's like, what do you mean your whole family would hunt together? I'm like, duh. Yeah, like, where do you get your deer? So anyway, it's really great. And it's fun now still.
No, that's awesome. So how did those lessons of like working together with your brothers, and you talked about some life lessons, even the paintball story where they ganged up on you. I'm sure like there's been aspects of that have helped you, whether you were in college competing or even to present day. But how do you think can you kind of explain how some of those lessons have helped you to present day, really just on your journey as a young officer?
Probably keeping each other accountable, just because you know, my mom, she's a powerhouse, and so is my dad, but we knew who we had to ask to get permission. Yeah. And so, you know, she gives us something to do and it's not done. And I'm like, well, that wasn't, you told Patrick to do that. She's like, I don't care who I told, it needs to get done. And I mean, that's pretty much, I would say, similar to the military, because at the end of the day, we just need to get things done. So it might not be your job and someone else might have pushed it off to you, but the commander doesn't care who's doing it a lot of the time as long as it gets done. So the quicker you come to terms with that, that it's okay to inherit things that you don't want to do, getting them done does benefit everyone else, like a rising tide, you know, raises all ships. And that was true for us. Because at the end of the day, we did have each other's backs, even if someone's like really being, you know, roasted about something. It's like, well, I'm allowed to roast him because he's my brother, but like, don't even think about getting mad if you're some outsider. So yeah, just sticking together and being okay with doing stuff you don't want to do and getting in trouble for things that are not your fault, that you don't think are your fault. It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's just, I would say, just take it in a stride. So that's what I try to do, is not to get too bummed when I'm like, I didn't really think that was my fault, but is it worth saying anything? Like, it's usually not. So I'd say that's a big takeaway.
Has there been like any, how long have you been in? I think 4 years, right?
Yeah, five.
Four or five. Yeah, when I was doing the research, has there been a time that you've encountered in your career where you weren't really sure what to do, but then a childhood memory or lesson, like, you thought like, oh, I remember this one thing and it applies directly to this current situation?
Oh, for sure. I'm trying to think of something really specific. So when I started WCAP, like right after graduated USAFA, I had to have surgery to take out some hardware in my foot because screws were essentially coming out of the bone. And the recovery from that was supposed to be pretty quick, but I also had a stress fracture that they found when like the scan right before surgery. So it ended up being longer, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't say I was in a slump necessarily, but it's hard to have, you have a lot of momentum coming off like a senior season and then to immediately go into recovery mode kind of stinks. And, you know, I'm like getting back into training, probably not as fast as I should have. And my mom was like, basically, what are you doing? Like, you need to get rolling. Like, you need a coach. And I had a coach, but I needed someone more technical to complement my USAFA coach, who's amazing. We're like super tight. But yeah, I mean, she lit a fire under me. Like, if you aren't advocating for yourself, who's going to advocate for you? Because you really kind of are alone during WCAP if you don't seek or take initiative for your own training. And I mean, I wouldn't say I was a child, but when you graduate college, it's not like, you know, you're some wise adult or anything. Yeah. So that lesson has really stuck with me because, I mean, it was a little bit of a rude awakening in the sense that I'm like, oh my gosh, mom, why are you getting mad at me? I just had surgery, you know? But it's like, you really can't, don't be the victim ever. And you have to advocate for yourself. So, you know, I've had things where I'm really driving like my assignment for Intel school or just deadlines that normally when you're in a unit, they take care of you. But when you're off in WCAP by yourself, geographically distanced from your supervisor, a lot of that stuff falls through the cracks if you're not on it. So me just continually following up with people and being like, hey, I don't know if you're the person I need to talk to, but I need to talk to someone that can help me do XYZ. I mean, and that's helped me get my life together to get to tech school, do training, get here. And then first Intel assignment, I was a captain like 2 months in. So people are like, oh, you know something. And I'm like, oh, I'm still pretty new. So just being your own advocate. And that's what I tell people all the time, especially like sponsoring lieutenants or, you know, people that are like, how do you like this? I'm like, if you aren't advocating for yourself, you don't give people ammo to advocate for you either. So you really have to be your own advocate and don't get too comfortable when you're kind of like not feeling sorry for yourself. But yeah, it's easy to fall into that sometimes.
Was there something specific, your mom, like a specific action or maybe even a past saying that your mom, because you mentioned your mom quite a bit, right? Yeah. That helped nurture your confidence and your mental health? Because even like the mental health aspect, like you're someone who's very competitive, obviously, with college, and you said you had the surgery, like that has to play mind games. You know, was there anything that helped nurture your confidence and overall mental health in a good way?
Oh, for sure. So growing up, all three of my brothers ended up going Division I college sports, and so two older, one younger. But even from a really young age, my mom was like, all of you are good at something. We're going to figure out what it is, and you're going to do that in college, or you're going to get a job. And we were like, ooh, sports sounds way more fun than working, because it is a job. It's a full-time job. But yeah, it was never like I loved gymnastics when I was younger. You can watch gymnastics on TV. Nobody's 6'1". So I knew. I didn't know. But
they're
my
all
mom,
like 5'3".
Yeah. My mom's like, listen, gymnastics probably isn't going to be the ticket for you. And I'm like, what? I love gymnastics. But it was never like, you can't do this. It was like, why don't we focus on what you're good at? And it was always that. It was never, and it didn't have to be sports. It didn't have to be really anything that was like tangible. If I was, you know, if you're really good at reading and you want to work somewhere that has to do with reading, you know what I mean? It was like, we're going to nurture what you love rather than, oh, you're not good at this, you need to be perfect. But after a while, you pick a track and then it's like, okay, now I'm going to pour everything into this. I know you're great. We just need to figure out what you're best at, and then we're going to like fully send it. But yeah, it was always just like a revectoring kind of, and knowing that it was going to be okay because everybody's good at something, you know? So yeah, it was always really positive, competitive among brothers, obviously, but positive, mostly.
I'll never ask you to play paintball.
Trauma. No, I'm just kidding. It was really fun.
I want to stick on, because you talked about being really good at something. Obviously, you had a crazy, amazing career at the Air Force Academy with the high jump. But when you were training and competing, I'm sure you encountered many expert opinions, right? Like, I'm sure everyone had to give their two cents. But there's a lesson to that, right? How do you filter to know which perspectives are worth listening to?
So when I got to USAF, I came actually for volleyball and track. So I played volleyball for 2 years. And the sticking point for me was sophomore year, I missed qualifying for nationals by like two places or something. And I had come off an injury freshman year. I had broken my foot. That's when I got all the hardware put in. And so I'm hearing from the volleyball coach, you know, we need you. The seniors are gone. You're going to fill this big hole. And the track coach is really never, and I loved volleyball. And I liked the coaches a lot. But I was like, I know I could be, like going back to what my mom said, like, I know that I could be so much better at track if I focused. So that was a hard decision to pare down just to one sport. But the best coaches I've ever had have been, I'd say, honestly, easygoing, because I don't really need someone to impose a lot of structure on me, because that's my personality anyway, is like I really like structure. So I can do that myself. I almost need someone to be like, it's okay to chill and take some training doesn't happen overnight. So I would say find someone's going to give you advice that maybe you wouldn't actively seek. Like, people want to seek things that are similar to them. But like one of the best high jump coaches I ever had, Gwen McKinsky, she's awesome. She's coached world teams. She's like super connected in the track world. She is so zen and kind of a hippie. And like, I told her that. And that's not something that I would have actively sought out. I would have sought out someone that mirrors my energy. But I'd say the best advice often comes from someone that is complimentary rather than type A.
That's excellent. That's a great perspective. Yeah, people do have a tendency to do that, right? Go to the kind of the comfort zone and look for something similar. I like that. Even with that, like, you know, you talked about, you know, being out with an injury and all these different things. What is your advice, whether competing at a high level for athletics or even in your experience being in the military, what's your advice on handling pressure when expectations continue to rise? Because even now with your current position in the commander's action group, I mean, it's a lot of high visibility things, right? Yeah, how do you handle expectations when the pressure continues to rise?
It's funny because I feel a lot less pressure now than I did athletically, just because I think so much of athletics is self-imposed, especially at a certain level. And it's important that you can't measure progress against other people because you have no idea what they're going through or what their timeline is, you know, or when they're aiming to peak. And so, you know, you go to certain meets. Like, I used to hate tapering because I was like, I'm going to lose my fitness overnight if I don't work out hard for 2 weeks like I'm used to. I really probably did myself a disservice, especially early on with just overtraining, because recovery is a job. Like, recovery and tapering, that in itself is a whole strategy. So yeah, don't look around and say, oh my gosh, they're working out this hard, I need to work out this hard. And that's one reason I totally got off social media pretty early in like my professional track career, because I didn't want to see what other people were doing. If I need to see a training plan, like, I can seek that out, but I don't need to passively ingest things that just aren't true. And it's easier for me to just say, well, I'm just going to get rid of it because I'm not even tempted now to look it up because I don't have access to it. And it's amazing how quickly you adapt to not caring about what other people are doing if you're not seeing it. Because I think we passively just take in so much stimuli and you just aren't aware of like that translating to your mindset. So that helped me a lot. And just sticking to my own training plan. And then same thing at work. It's like at the end of the day, what really, really matters? And what matters is I'm taking care of the big things that I know are impacting a lot of people. So maybe I can't get to everything, because you're just never going to get to everything at work. And most people just aren't going to. So be okay with prioritizing things and knowing certain things are going to slip. And you can re-attack those later. But it's like you have to prioritize. Otherwise, you'll run yourself straight into the ground, which I did do early on in track for sure. And that's probably why I was injured early on. And then I was like, this isn't sustainable.
Yeah, I love that. Like, especially about the social media aspect, just because it's, comparison is the thief of joy. And, you know, and I know I've struggled with that. I see what other people are doing and I'm like, man, I feel like I'm falling behind, versus like recognizing like, hey, here are the cool things I have accomplished, or whatever team I'm a part of, or things I have to be thankful for. We get caught up in the comparison aspect. That's really good. I want to kind of stay on that, because obviously you talked about just getting ridding yourself of social media. And I like what you said, they can't measure progress against other people. Like, that's excellent. What resources, could be books or podcasts, for example, do you also recommend for anyone looking to make small incremental changes that eventually have big payoffs?
That's a good question. And now, at least really quick with social media, like I have a LinkedIn. I honestly just use it because I like to read the articles, and I have Instagram now and Facebook, but I try and look at it like, I want to keep up with people that are like, a lot of my friends are having children now, and it's like, and I realize it's hard for people to keep in touch. So I want to see it, but the way I ingest it so differently, it's like, I'm going to share this photo because I love it. Or am I going to share this photo because I want other people to see it and I want feedback on it? Because that to me is not the way I want to use it. But the athletic realm definitely shaped that for me, because I just realized it can be so detrimental. And I know it's not a hot take. I mean, a lot of people feel that way. But anyway, as far as incremental resources, something I love is picking out someone that I admire. At least I think I admire, because, you know, you don't really know like a celebrity or whatever. And I love reading biographies and stories of success, like reading Boys in the Boat. Have you ever read that? So it's about the Olympic rowing team during World War II, our U.S. team, and which is like such a time of unrest. I also love World War II history. Yeah. That's my nerd fact. But reading success stories like that and just seeing people have achieved success in different ways throughout the years, but there are like underlying themes that just never change. And that's, I just believe in being disciplined with things that really matter to you. Like, for me, that's working out pretty much every day. If I don't do that, my headspace is off from like the get-go. So just find a couple things, even if it's one that you really, really want to make a change, and just stay committed to it. And it doesn't have to be every day. And it's okay if you fall off the wagon for a few days. Like, don't scrap the whole effort, because you feel so much better just getting back on it rather than just quit. Like, if that's bringing a healthy lunch or working out or like walking your dog, because it will make a difference over time. So I just feel like people don't always stick with something long enough. to see that it can make a difference.
I've been guilty of that, like, oh, just start over, right? And it's always you start with the same workout from the same plan versus like just picking up where you left off.
Yeah, it's like I like to think of it in 6 months, if I look back, that day I missed will be a blip in time. Whereas if I miss, or even if I miss 3 days, it's still a blip. But if I miss a day and then I quit and then I pick it up 2 months later, it's like it could have just been 3 days, but instead I made it a month of failure. So it doesn't matter if you fall off. It's like just keep putting in the work and it will pay off.
I'm also a big history buff, and World War II is super, super fascinating to me. What is it that you're interested by that war specifically?
I am like so into just the resistance movement and how it kind of ties back to, it's like people were doing tiny things like putting up flyers in the middle of the night, like just getting the word out. And it's like grassroots efforts like that, small incremental changes, they do make a difference. So I just like seeing the stories of people banding together and like sticking to a cause.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like that aspect of it. And there's a lot of tragic things happening in the world today. And that was a really horrible period in history. But there are still good things that come from bad things, you know, just seeing people band together. I think it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why I enlisted was because of 9/11. I enlisted the day after, right? And like many people who joined around that
time. That's cool. I didn't know that.
The what?
I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
Cool.
So I tried to enlist on September 12th. I stood in line for 5 hours at the recruiter office. And I'm from Oklahoma, so it's a very, very patriotic place, at least where I'm from. The line barely moved at all. They had to tell people like, hey, we can't, like, we have to close today, so come back tomorrow. The next day, September 13th, same thing. There's a long line. I waited in line for like an hour, and then I drove to Texas like an hour away, because there was another office there, and I just enlisted out of there. But then there was also, so that was on September 13th of 2001. There were so many people that were trying to join at that time. I was in the delayed entry program for over a year. So I didn't leave for basic until November of 2002, which is crazy. Like, I had so many chances just to walk away, but I was like, no, I'm going to do this. And
yeah, I've come this far.
I want to stay on the subject of history. We talked about just good and bad things. Why is history so important? And can you maybe just kind of share deeper on your thoughts about, especially the lessons from World War II, on how they can impact present day? Or even your own leadership philosophy.
Hindsight is 20/20. I feel like when you find yourself in a situation that you think is so stressful, like this is it, this is like, if I don't get this done, it's game over. It's like, try and take a step back. And in a month, am I still going to feel this way? In 6 months, am I going to look back and feel this way? And if the answer is yes, then what you're doing, you need to figure it out, because it obviously matters. But if you're like, in a month, this is probably going to be, like I said, a blip in time, then, you know, simmer down, because I mean, I'm guilty of this. Everyone gets caught up in what they're doing, and what's important right now is like the only thing that matters to me. But when you have 10 things going on, you really can't afford to look at problems that way. So I just think it helps puts things in perspective when you just zoom out. So that's what I try and do, because like I said, during training, it's so hard to do that sometimes, because you're so focused on several workouts a day, what you're eating, what time do you need to go to sleep? It's like just check-ins all throughout the day. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, preseason's over. A meet's around the corner. I don't even remember what I've been doing because I'm so sucked in. So yeah, just trying to be present, but also keep some perspective that what you're doing, if it doesn't go exactly how you envision, it's probably going to be fine.
That's a tough one, especially in our career fields. I think people have a tendency to paralysis by analysis or something is always a common thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we overanalyze things. I want to transition to some lighter topics before, as we're closing out. There's no flow. It's just
okay.
Random questions.
I like
right?
It. So, rapid fire.
What are you world class at that people might not know?
Oh gosh. Probably knowing a lot about dogs. It's so random.
A specific breed or just in general?
Oh, yes. Greyhounds.
Okay.
I have 2 greyhounds. I love animals.
What are their names?
Poppy and Rafa. So Rafa is named after Rafael Nadal, because I love tennis.
Okay. Okay, so
R-A-F-A. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Rafa and Poppy, I'm really passionate about animals. I would love to work with like greyhound rescues in the future. And I did when I lived in Colorado. My first greyhound was a previous racer. So I'm all into that. I really, really love animals. So that's like super big passion of mine outside of athletics and everything else.
We just, it's been a year, but we adopted a dog.
It's the best.
And he is perfect.
Oh yeah. Duh. Every dog is perfect. I just love animals, especially dogs.
No, he fits into our, and it's a lab.
And he's so cute. He's so I grew beautiful. Up with labs.
Yeah, he's so beautiful. I love him so much. Shout out to Shadow. If there was a movie made about your life, and we'll say during your Air Force Academy time, okay. Your stint, who would play you?
Ooh.
And in that movie, there's going to be a flashback. Because we it's a movie, so we have to make it dramatic, right?
Oh,
of me
when I'm younger? Oh, who's really tall?
But hear me out on this, right? So it has to be a flashback. We have to make it like, you know, it's you're going up for, you know, whatever championship, whatever, and you have some random childhood memory, but it's going to be the flashback to you and your brothers doing yard work. It makes me think of, like, prison when you guys are all just like...
like, literally picture us walking around spreading bales of pine straw. That is burned into my memory.
Who's going to play you, and then who would play your brothers?
Oh, that's hard. Who would play me? Who do I really?
At least what would the name of the movie be?
Name of the movie? Okay, that might be easier. Like, I've actually thought about this because I feel like we have a lot of funny sibling stories, and I would have to call it something like High Waters, because everyone always made fun of my pants for being too short. I got called Steve Urkel when I played basketball too.
I'm not gonna laugh at that because I feel bad.
Oh, it's okay.
No, that's horrible.
It's fine. Well, I love it. Look, crop jeans are in. So, yeah,
the fashion forward.
So, you know, jokes on all of you because, also I can see over everyone at concerts. So I'm not sorry about it. But yeah, probably High Waters or something in relation to being just very tall, because all my brothers, they're 6 feet. I'm taller than him, actually, which he hates, my oldest brother, but then 6'8" and 6'6". So we're a tall bunch.
Jeez, 6'8"?
That's my youngest brother, too. We're like, where the heck did you come from?
It's like when 6'3" is the shortest brother, right? Like,
yeah, well, he's my oldest brother, 6 feet, and yeah, he's like, squat down. We take a Christmas card. I'm like, buzz off.
Okay, so you talked about, like, you guys had crazy stories and fun siblings. If you're on the like the Amazing Race, and you can only take one sibling, who would be on your partner?
Oh, well, I need someone that's complimentary to me, you know. So I'd probably take my youngest brother because he is a master outdoorsman. And
is this Jake?
This is Peyton.
Peyton, okay.
Yes, Jake's my second oldest.
Sorry.
I don't expect you to know that. My mom will say, Patrick, Jake, Peyton, Shelley. I'm like, yes. I'm the only girl, so rude. Yeah, I'd probably have to take Peyton. A, because he's huge, so he could definitely, like, help me out if we had to reach something or, like, catapult me over some obstacle. And also, he could survive in the wilderness with nothing. So I'm like, that's a good trait.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Any thoughts on who would play you? Or who would play your brother? Just pick one brother and who would play your brother. I'll let you.
Let's see. Oh, gosh. I'm just thinking. They're all, like, really buff and tall.
You know what?
So maybe the guy that plays, like, Thor.
I was going to say, we'll just say Chris Hemsworth, and we'll let your brothers.
Yeah,
your
in that vein.
Let your brothers,
they better listen to this, because that's, like, a big compliment.
It is, but let your brothers fight it out. Like, oh, clearly she's talking about me.
Yeah.
So one of the brothers is going to, Chris Hemsworth, to play that brother, because it's a real, very similar, right?
Well, yeah.
So we'll let them fight that out over paintball. They can have a paintball duel.
Sure, yeah. Peyton probably needs to be played by, like, an NBA player. Someone that's, like, tall. I mean, he played basketball in college, so that tracks.
Man, I'm trying to think who, like, I loved NBA, so I watched tons of basketball, and I'm trying to think who could. Brian Scalabrine, that's who would play your.
I don't know who that is, in full disclosure.
The White Mamba.
Oh, there you go.
It's a running gag in the basketball circle. All right, last two questions. What does the hero of your story want?
Just a life where she makes the people around her better and happy. So pretty simple, I feel like, when you boil it down. Because that's all I really One of my friends, I told you earlier, she has a podcast that she hasn't like fully finished yet, but she's like very deep always. And she's like, what's like your life goal? I'm like, just to like take full advantage of every day. Yeah. And by doing that, I think it makes the people around you better. And just to stay positive, that sounds corny, but it does make a difference because I do think happiness is largely a choice a lot of the times.
It can be.
Not all the time, but you can try to find the good.
Some pro wrestling fan and one of the most famous of all time is Dusty Rhodes. But he has this quote where it's just maximize the second, right? Maximize every second, right? And he was just a very happy guy and all that, and been very intentional about over the past couple of years. Really 11 since my daughter was born. But last question. If there was a giant billboard.
Oh, wow. Right on time.
Right on time. If there was a giant billboard with your picture on it and your message on it for the world to see and read, where would you place that billboard and what would that billboard say?
Where would I place it? Probably going from, this is because this is like my favorite place to be. Well, one of them. Driving from, because my family has some land in Wyoming and my youngest brother's out there. So when I was in Colorado, we'd go back and forth a lot. But I just think that's beautiful. And there's not much out there. So I'd put it out there because I'm like, people would definitely see it. Maybe not a ton of people, but people would see it. And it would probably say, have a great day, or just like smile, or like enjoy this place, just because that's just how I feel. I'm just like, let's just have a good time and make things better. That was not a succinct message, but that's the theme.
Do you have any parting shots, any parting thoughts?
Well, I do have one. So at USAFA, I am tied with my teammate, Jameel Trimble, for most decorated All-American in Academy history, male and female. So he was also on the track team. So yeah, we're neck and neck. Unless someone's broken it, because I have no clue. I'd have to look it up.
Now you have the leg up because you've been on my podcast.
Boom.
Yeah, so boom.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. I didn't even realize that till after I graduated. And my I can't remember, putting something together. And I was like, oh, that's like zooming out, because like you don't realize it in the moment. And I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. But someone will come along and best it, which is cool too. No, thanks for having me. This was fun.
My pleasure.
This was super fun. Yeah, I don't really have anything else. It's always a good time getting to talk about stuff that's not necessarily work. The highlight of the day.
I appreciate it. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for being on my show.
Thank you. Everyone listen.
That concludes another episode of Passing the Torch. Big thanks to my guest, Shelley Baskin. For everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed the episode. One reason I created this podcast was to give people a positive platform. If you want to help and support, watching the video on YouTube and liking the post on Facebook will have an astronomical impact for Passing the Torch. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. And finally, remember, vision, relate, develop. Take care, everyone. Foster out.